And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Benched with Bubba, episode 698. Coming at you here on a Tuesday afternoon or evening, depending on where you're located in this wonderful country we live in. We're going to talk about pick up where we left off last week. We were doing the early hitting projections, according to Steamer, kind of some takeaways from that. Now we're moving to the mound, starting pitching, because God forbid we try to think of relievers on this one. We'll do starting pitching for now and have some fun with this. Ben's got some takeaways through some of his work that'll be interesting to discuss as well. But before we get to that, you can find me on Twitter at BDintric and my co-host, as always, early on in the weeks here on Twitter at BreakingBen_T. Ben Tidd, how you doing, my friend?
Doing very well, Bubba. Had some technical difficulties to start off the show, so hopefully the rest goes pretty smoothly. But yeah, you mentioned the first half of the week, and it was awesome hearing you and Toby together again last week. It was like old time, so it was, hopefully Toby's able to come on more, even if it's at my expense, because Toby's always a great listen. So.
Yeah, no, I always love catching up with Toby. That's why I laughed when we started talking. I said, I hope people understand this won't be full baseball because we just go down rabbit holes. And Toby and I have done so much together. Off the air, we just talking. He's a great guy. And the goal, a lot of it's my fault for the most part because my schedule is pretty wonky these days. But he does want to or is willing to come on more often, not obviously every week. But I could probably get him every couple months, at least. I'm not going to, press him type thing. But the goal is to try to have Toby on a little more often. But it'll be second episodes of the week, not first episodes. It will never be at your expense. Curlin might try to make it at your expense. But that's still open for debates on that one. But, yeah, it was great to have Toby back. This week I'll have Kyle Bland talking PLV projections and whatnot, a pitcher list, because those have dropped and they've had those going for a year. So to kind of see how that goes with things, we'll have that, and I got some more cool stuff coming up down the line, but we'll be doing our thing as always as we are actually getting closer. Like, drafts are picking up here, Ben. It's late November, at least mid-November now. It's starting to get into people starting to turn much more aggressively towards 2025. Rule 5 guys got talked about today on Tuesday, so there's a lot more moving and shaking going on these days, and rumor has it Juan Soto might be signed before the winter meetings. We'll see. I've heard rumors before, but time will tell. All right. We did hitting projections last week from Steamer. Steamer projections came out a few weeks ago. It's the only projections we have for now on FanGraphs. And we talked hitters. So now we'll go to the mound. And it's just, it's interesting. And we'll talk more about it. But we always, you, me, many others say, oh, you can't use pitching projections for starting pitching. Well, maybe you can. We'll talk about that later. But I did want to highlight, you made your chart like you do, kind of comparing numbers and getting your X scores or Z scores and all that. What are some of the top 10 by value you've noticed so far comparing the Steamer projections?
Yeah, well, I don't have the ADP down pat yet because I haven't been drafting yet, but just some names stick out. We'll probably dig into him more because of the strikeouts, but DeGrom being at the top of the list as the most valuable pitcher according to Steamer is pretty interesting. Interesting. It's assuming a full workload, which it's like water and oil when it comes to DeGrom. Garrett Crochet is a top five starter, according to how I calculated everything.
That's good.
Yep. And then McClanahan's in the top 10. He's 9.
No, that's not acceptable. No, that's kidding.
Yeah, Glasnow's up there. He's 8. A couple injury risks with DeGrom and Glasnow, and then the workload of Crochet, that comes into question. Yamamoto's back up there. Blake Snell's there. I think Steamer always really likes, well, Snell's, he gets all of the strikeouts, so that really helps boost his value. But Ohtani's 19th. And they're expecting a big workload from him. I don't think he meets the threshold that we're going to talk about, but 165 innings for Ohtani is asking a lot, I think. And Cole's outside the top 20. It's mainly driven by his ERA, it looks like, but we'll talk about him too. He has a lot of strikeouts projected, but yeah, I mean, a lot of the big names are here. It's, I think what's interesting is looking at to see where guys like Woodruff is. And then Alcantara, I think you identified him as someone we're going to talk about. So many pitchers missed all or big chunks of last season or this past year. So seeing what the projections think is interesting for sure.
Yeah, it's interesting. And just in case anybody's curious, the top 10 by value is DeGrom, Skubal, Skeens, Sale, Crochet, Wheeler, Gilbert, Glasnow, McClanahan, and Cease. So it is an interesting list. You got the two young guns that everybody's targeting basically in the first round, early second, Skeens and Skubal. You got DeGrom's injury concerns. You have Glasnow's injury concerns. You got McClanahan's injury concerns. You have Cease coming off a great strikeout year, but can we trust the command to stay intact good enough to make it work? You got Gilbert, who people are really jumping on board with. He's the fourth pitcher off the board. Dude's been a workhorse the last 3 years. Wheeler's been a stud. Crochet, like you said, the big innings bump. Can we trust it? So it's a fun group of kind of this young group. You got Cy Young winners. You got a rookie of the year here. You got some veterans that have been on here for a long time. Some injury concerns. It's a little bit of everything, which makes it really fun. Like you said, when we're talking about Steamer, just for fun, you mentioned Woodruff. He is 26th according to value, which is a whole nother talking point for another day potentially, because I don't know what to do with Brandon Woodruff with that whole situation there. That is probably just a pass for now out of my blatant, I don't want to take that risk situation. But let's get out of here. Just like, real quick, Michael C. says, Woodruff's projection makes him top 25-ish, but shoulders are super weird. Yes, they are super weird. As long as you have two of them, though, that's a good start. When it came to hitting, we talked like 2020 projected guys, people hitting over 290. Those are kind of thresholds and whatnot. Tonight for starting pitchers, we're going to go pitchers projected top 10 in innings pitched. So it's basically 193 or above is what it came down to. And then the list of 200 strikeout pitchers, which we have a pretty decent amount of, and not sure we can, trust all of that, but time will tell when we look at this, Ben. So let's get going on the top 10 in innings pitched. And what I want to do just really quick here is putting something together on Fangraphs here. So when I said 193 plus innings, there's 10 pitchers projected for 193 plus innings, Ben. Just for fun, if you have not checked yet, can you guess how many pitchers last year threw at least 193 innings?
Oh, well, I kind of did that in that table you're alluding to. I think it was 9, if I remember correctly.
It was actually 6. Oh, it was 6. Okay. There's 9 of 191 or more. So you're probably in that ballpark, is what you're 190 plus. 190 plus is 9. If we're using this threshold, if they had 10 pitchers basically at 193, there were 6 last year. So still less overall for 191 plus. But again, we'll look at that chart later on. I'm kind of going to tease it so people listen this whole show and get the whole kind of, it'll be kind of a bring it home moment at the end. But we'll start with one of the first ones. I had a good friend of ours, Lucas Bury, actually text me the other night going, what's your thoughts on Logan Webb? Because he was a talking point at First Pitch Arizona. And I talked to many people because they think just because I'm a Giants fan, which I do pay more attention to them, they wanted my thoughts. First, I'll ask you your thoughts so my biased opinions can't get into play. But Logan Webb is projected for 201 innings pitched. He's the only pitcher projected for 201 innings, Ben. And last year, when it came to baseball, we had we had 4 pitchers of at least 200 innings. So only one projected for over 200. It's Logan Webb. What's your thoughts on this projection? Because he's been quite a reliable source of late.
Yeah, it makes sense. He's like, with Sandy being hurt, Webb's kind of the new workhorse, I think, because in 2023, Logan Webb threw 216 innings, and then, like you said, 204 in 2024, and 192 in 2022. So that's 3 years of a pretty heavy workload. Of course, you have the durability concerns, but I don't think he throws particularly hard, and that shows up in his K rate. But going into this year, I was very high in Logan Webb. And actually, one of my first pieces I did for Sports Ethos in the offseason was players I was having trouble ranking, and I chose Logan Webb because I was so high on him based on what I saw after 2023. The low walk rate, the absurd ground ball rate, it was kind of on par with Framber Valdez. And as a result, I had Webb in a couple DCs, two of my first 3 drafts, I think, maybe the first 2 I took him. And I think it was more like my ace because I was just valuing the volume and hopefully the good ratios. And the ERA was fine. Since that the whip was a little high, I think it was above a 1-2 whip, which hurts, especially if it's your ace, 1-2-3 to be exact. And so I think because of my love for Webb going into this past season, I'm going to try to adjust my philosophy for drafting starters. And that's kind of why I dug into Steamer's starting pitching projections a little more than I normally would in previous years, because I didn't do as well on my teams in pitching. My team's success last year, it was driven by the hitters. So, and I think having Webb as my SP1 and a couple DCs hurt that. I mean, he was great for volume, which is what you want in a DC. It's just that he didn't have that elite volume. And despite having 204 innings of a 3.47 ERA, and I think he had 13 wins, he was kind of down there in the overall value. I think, according to my evaluation, he was pitcher overall 39, and that includes a handful of closers, but still, it's just that the lack of Ks that he had, that he provided, and the high whip does hurt. And when he's a ground ball, when you're a ground ball pitcher, the whip is always going to be at risk. So I think that's, it makes sense why he didn't do as well as he did. It was just probably a career year in 2023.
Yeah, it was a great year in 2023. Right now, he's the 37th pitcher off the boards in draft champions. That includes relief pitchers, and I'm not going to go counting in between there. Just so you could probably roughly say he's a top around a 30th, give it a 25th to 30th starting pitcher off the board at that point. But with Webb, like you mentioned, he's a workhorse the last 3 years, at least 32 starts the last 3 years. It's one thing I've always said watching him, he can strike guys out if he wants to, because he showed that a few years back. And then it's kind of just been an up and down roller coaster of strikeouts once again over the last few years. What he prides himself on is going deep into games. That's just what he does. So it's kind of like the Sandy effect, like you said. But at least with Sandy, I felt like he got at least a K an inning, where Webb's not even doing that most of the time. So that's what makes it very difficult for Webb. Like I told Lucas in our texting going back and forth, I said, I would love him as an SP3. It's not realistic in what we're doing. He has the ceiling to be an ace. Like I would never be shocked if he comes back out this year and becomes a stud. Like that's always an option. I just don't know if that's who he wants to be. That's my biggest concern with Logan Webb. So probably makes for a fine and a quote-unquote safe SP2 if you really want him to. You're just going to have to be really aggressive in strikeouts elsewhere, as Ben said, because we just mentioned the 201 innings. Well, teaser alert, Logan Webb's not in the pitchers that throw 200 strikeouts. So you're going to have to basically get your Ks elsewhere when it comes to Logan Webb. Like they haven't projected for 175 Ks, which is still very good. Don't get me wrong. But it's all volume-based when it comes to Logan Webb. And like you said, it probably didn't help your team a ton last season. All right, now one you mentioned earlier, the second most projected innings this upcoming season, Sandy Alcantara. This one's very, very interesting for a guy that didn't pitch at all in 2024. He's projected for 199 innings, Ben. He's been a workhorse in the past. There's zero denying that. But the workhorse took a year off because of an injury. So what's your thoughts on this projection? Because it's one of those, okay, if he's healthy and they let him roll, probably doable. But it's tough to believe they'll let him roll that much. I don't know. What's your thoughts on a Sandy Alcantara?
Yeah, I think it's too high. I mean, it's definitely the projection doing all thinking with without feelings. And, I mean, maybe they know more than we do, but projecting 200 innings essentially off Tommy John, I think even for someone as durable, quote unquote, that as Sandy has been, and look what happened. We thought he was a sure thing for innings, and then he missed in all this past season. It's just I was maybe 170 is a better projection for him realistically. It's, and I kind of allude, and we'll talk about this later again, but alluding to our last topic, it's I think Steamer's very I mentioned this last week with the hitters, but they're very optimistic when it comes to offense. And I think they're very optimistic right now with workloads, because there's a lot of guys projected for a lot of innings, and I just don't see Sandy pitching this much. I mean, he's not that young. He's going to be 28, I think. No, he's going to be 29 this year. Yep. So maybe the Marlins want to trade him. I mean, it would make sense. They probably want to keep him pretty healthy. So I don't think we should expect this many innings from him this year.
Yeah, I'm very, very kind of confused, I guess, by this. Like, I could still see him getting all the starts, but, you know, temper it down an inning or two per start, and then it comes back to that 170 you're thinking. That's all it takes is a minor little setback there. I still think he'll be very good. When you're talking Sandy right now in early ADP, it's 160, which is very palatable. That's a guy you can at least I can find myself being interested in. He was throwing towards the end of the year. It's one of those, if the Marlins were in it, he was going to come back and pitch. So it's not like he wasn't able to throw by the end of the season. He was throwing with high velocity by the end of the season. So everything points in the right direction for Sandy. The 199 innings is very tough to stomach on this one. I'm with you there. So we'll see. I hope he does, because I do want to try to get some shares. I have not got one yet. I am very interested, and I'm usually not a Sandy guy, but you used to have to pay a premium for Sandy, and I was never going to do that either. All right, the next guy is, like I said earlier, very popular name. He's in the top 10 of value we talked about earlier, and he's projected for the third most innings pitched in 2025. That is Logan Gilbert with a projection of 198.2 innings, Ben. Over the last three seasons, at least 32 innings pitched, at least 185 innings, went 208 this last year. Keeps getting better and better every season, Ben. So barring the unforeseen injury, this is one of the first ones I can kind of get behind here.
I agree. I think it was Frank Stanfield today who had a poll asking about, I think, who's going to be the SP, who would be our SP4s.
Yeah, Tucker Skeen, Scoble, and Wheeler, yeah.
Yeah, I voted for Gilbert, just without doing any research, just off the top of my head. And I think Gilbert was, I don't know, I never checked the results afterwards to see how they changed, but I think Frank ended up saying himself that he would have Gilbert as his SP4. And I know he was on the 2024 version of the hardest throwers, but
yes,
I think he was more in the 96 range. And a lot of the guys from the previous year in the 98 range, and they all got knocked off the list because they were all hurt. So if you go down to the next 10, maybe they just don't throw as hard. And I think that's the case with Logan. I can probably see right here what his velocity is, if I can find it quickly. It was 96.6. So it actually went up a mile per hour from 2023. But the guys on that list from 2023, where everyone was getting scared off, they were in like the high 90s. With them all healthy, Gilbert's not going to appear on that list. So I think it's just all relative. I don't think he's throwing that hard. I was surprised that he does throw that hard. But in terms of innings, I think he's increased his workload every year. And I think projecting to go back down to the middle of 2023 and 2024 is probably fine. And I think he's fairly expensive right now in drafts, which he should be because of the volume and the good ratios. But I think this is – I agree with you that I think this is a good projected total for him.
Yeah, Gilbert currently ADP 31. If you don't count Shohei Ohtani, he's the fourth pitcher off the board. So, yeah, pretty good stuff there when it comes to Logan Gilbert. Hard to disagree. The third starting pitcher off the board, if you don't count Ohtani, with an ADP of 21, so 10 picks in front of Gilbert, is Zach Wheeler. And this is when we're talking workhorses, this is Zach Wheeler in a nutshell. He's projected for 198 and two-thirds innings, Ben. He's thrown at least 32 starts, let's say 29 starts every year since 2018, except for 2022, 26, because he missed like the first 3 weeks. We don't count 2020. So he's been basically 182 or more innings outside of 22 and 20 since 2018. Strikeouts, whatever you want. It's all great. So love some Zach Wheeler. Again, barring an unforeseen injury, I completely support this one as well.
I do. The only concern I would have with Wheeler is that he's 35. He did have his Tommy John, though, I believe, a long time ago, and that's why he kind of got a late start to his career. But, yeah, in terms of – as reliable, I think he's kind of become the new Cole, the older guy with should help you all across the board in K's, ERA, WHIP, and good volume. He had 16 wins last year, a career high, and I think 15 plus. I don't think Steamer will project 15 plus, but I think he should be pretty much. You should feel pretty comfortable getting a lot of wins with Wheeler and the good volume.
Yep, totally agree with you there. Now we go to another high ADP with an ADP of 37 right now, the ninth pitcher off the board, Corbin Burnes. Corbin Burnes projected for 197 and a third innings pitched. Corbin Burnes looking for a new place to call home right now. But coming off 194, 193, 202 innings pitched in each of the last three seasons. So he has been that workhorse, Ben. How are we feeling about Corbin Burnes? He basically mimics a Wheeler, minus the strikeouts dropping a bit, and he's also 30 years old, so a bit younger. So innings-wise, this seems like a pretty good one as well.
Yeah, he definitely has, like you said, he definitely has the history of being able to pitch a lot. The thing with Burnes, though, well, looking at his velocity hasn't really dipped at all, so that's good, but you kind of alluded to the strikeouts, and that's why I was out on Burnes, at least where he was getting drafted in this past season, is when you look at whether it's K per nine or his K percentage, it's dropped 4 years in a row, where it peaked out in 2020. And it went from, we'll say 2021 because it's a full year, but it was not far off from 2022 or 2020. 2021, Burnes' K percentage was 35.6, which is as good as you'll see. And then last year, it was all the way down to 23.1%. So it dropped 13 percentage points in 3 years. And I think the swing strike rate has also declined. It kind of went back up last year, but it was around 16.5% in 2021, and it's down to 12.3, which is still good for a starter, but for whatever reason, he's not getting strikeouts. And for him, I don't think the park would matter too much, except for like if he went to Cincinnati, which I know he won't. But it's just the drop in the K rate is concerning again. So I probably won't draft Burns too much this year, but he will have good volume, I think.
He should have very good volume. I'm with you on that one. Yeah, it's weird because, you know, 2023 seems like an outlier over the last 4 years, because this past year his chase rate went back to similarities from previous seasons. Swing and strike pretty much has been 23 was the same. Did drop off from the previous two seasons. K to walk was the same last season. But what I really like to see is 2021 through 2024, ERA below 3 in 3 out of the 4 years, 3-4 or below in each one with Burns. The whip's been this 1-1-0 this past year was the worst he's had since 2019. So he's been a ratio god. It's just the strikeouts have fumbled him a bit. But yeah, I think he's still very, very good. Again, if you can get your strikeouts elsewhere, solid. I'd have to do pocket aces if I go for Corbin Burns. He's got to be number two for me. I got to get those strikeouts early with a Skeens or a Scooble or something and see where things land. All right. The 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6th. I got to learn how to count here. 6th starting pitcher here, Tarik Skubal. 196.1 projected innings for Skubal. Coming off 192 this past year in his first full season as a starting pitcher since basically 2021. I'll give him 29 starts there. So working back from injury, got a full season under the belt. They basically have him just a minor bump, which is probably pretty fair to say. It's just one of those guys, Ben, that I've said a lot on other shows is big innings jump. What do we see taking place the next year? They got Skubal basically in line with the previous season.
They do. I think it basically amounts to that one extra start they haven't projected for, because he started 31 games this year and steamrolls him for 32. And that innings increase is about a start's worth. But yeah, I alluded to how I had my love for Logan Webb earlier because of the volume. And because of that, I pass on guys like Skubal, and I think I want to change that, because we saw with pitchers like comes to mind Merrill Kelly and other people that we thought were safe. Anyone can get hurt. So I'm not saying I'm going to go ahead and draft DeGrom and Glasnow and Woodruff and everybody else, regardless of injury status. But I think with people like Skubal with the high Ks, and he was coming off an injury in 2023, but he was pitching fine. I mean, stuff was electric. I'll be more interested. But I am a little cautious with, because of, you mentioned the jump from 80 to 192. Maybe he has like a little IL stint just for whatever reason. I mean, it's hard to project an injury, but it has me concerned with people like Luis Gil and even Crochet to some extent, because they had massive workload increases. But I think I'll still be in on Skubal. I think per inning, he's as good as anyone. So if he could reach 190 plus innings again, I think that'd be fantastic. It's just I think it's a little optimistic, but I think he'll be fine.
Yeah, he'll still be just fine. It comes down to, do you like Skeens or Skubal? That's the fun part, and I'm not ready to make that decision because I don't know if I like either enough to take them in the first round right now. All right, the 7th starting pitcher, 195 projected innings, and this checks out, folks, is Aaron Nola. He's basically had 193 or more in 3 straight years. Then it was 180 in 2021, and then back to 202, 212. He's been a horse, an absolute horse. A little drop-off this past year when it comes to the strikeout department, but still pretty good ratios when things were all said and done for Nola. You'd like a better whip, of course, but still a very, very serviceable pitcher. And the fun part about Aaron Nola now, ADP is like 75, 76. You don't have to pay a premium for him. Innings eater. He's like a poor man Zach Wheeler, it feels like, right now. So what's your thoughts on Aaron Nola?
In terms of his K rate, he is poor man's Corbin Burns, because he has also seen a drop every year in K per nine and K percentage since 2020. But I mean, you just mentioned his Nola's ADP. I would be honestly fine with taking him that late, because I probably want to target a group of starters in that range after a lot of big bats. And a lot of the same things apply for Nola. I said with Wheeler, same team, so wins should be there. Nola had 14, which is the second most in his career in 2024. The indicators were still pretty good. 375 xFIP, 375 xERA and a 344 xFIP are both very good. His Sierra is not next to it, which is always frustrating. It was 368, which is good as well. And I was kind of out at null at the price. Also, it's been annoying with the every other year thing, but I'm not. So it's saying he will be bad in 2025 now because he's been in the odd years recently, but the volume should be there barring injury. He's only 32, which is fine for a starter, but he doesn't throw too hard either. So it's not like he's had a lot of innings of a lot of stress on his elbow. So I think I like that price for Nolan. I think the projection is pretty safe too for him being one of the top innings pitchers.
Yep, I agree. I'm on board with him. He joins about half of these so far that I'm fully good to go with on the inning situation. This next one, not so in on. Seth Lugo, a lot of topics have been covered on Seth Lugo in recent shows. Came out with 206 innings this past year for the Kansas City Royals in his first year with the Royals. 146 previous year in San Diego, which is a career high at that time. So everyone was wondering how he'd bounce back. Well, he just, you know, why not throw 60 more innings this next season on 7 more starts? So do the math there, folks. Already a tough ratio to be sustainable. The Steamer projections have him for 195 innings pitched this next year. And I'm sorry, I just can't go there at all.
You don't want to cut and paste last year's innings right into this year's at all?
No, and I liked the value on Lugo last year. He's like in the 200s or whatever. He's a little more, he's 170 right now. Still not too bad, honestly, all things considered. I think he's closer to 160 than he is to 200. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, so looking at the increase, he went from 65 to 146. So that was 80 innings roughly from 22 to 23. And then he increased by 60 this year. That's a pretty linear increase, a little off, but yeah, I mean, to project someone for this many innings after only hitting that total once, and it's a big total too, it's asking for a lot. It's a projection supposed to be a baseline estimate, and I don't think we know enough about Seth Lugo to say his baseline is almost 200 innings pitched, especially when he's been in the bullpen for a good chunk of his career. And like, he did well, but it'd be cool to see what happens when they update Steamer. I'm sure he probably loses some innings, if I had to guess.
Yeah, definitely be interested to see where that one shakes out. Like, do I think he can still be a good pitcher? Yes. Do I think he'll be as good as he was last year? I think we can all agree, very difficult to pull that one off. And that's where the kind of take the step back on the innings would be a big part there. This next one's a head scratcher to me because there was once a time where Framber Valdez got 201 innings and then 198 innings. Dropped to 176 this last year, 3 fewer starts, but still that's a 22-inning drop from the year before. This year, for 2025, Framber's projected for 195 innings pitched. Like, again, we've seen him do that in 2 out of the last 3 seasons. So it's very, very doable for Framber Valdez. It just feels like the skill set we saw, given the second-half skill set, was much, much more in line with this kind of elite Framber Valdez. He's got to have to be perfect. He's another one of those accumulator guys. Better than a Logan Webb per se, but you're going to have to get it done with Framber Valdez. So to get this 195 innings, Ben, for Framber Valdez, who currently has an ADP of 65, how are we feeling on this one?
Yeah, it's, I mean, he did eclipse that twice, 2022, 2023. He has gone down in his innings last 3 years from last 2 years from 2022. It's like the velocity looks there. I mean, looks like it's fine from what's on Fangraphs. So I don't think like he's losing anything and potentially going to like wearing down, so to speak. But yeah, I mean, I'm much more confident that Framber hits this than like Lugo does that we just mentioned. So Framber made 28 starts last year. I'm not sure why he missed. I didn't have him on any teams. Probably part of the reason why I struggled with pitching because he had a great year, but I maybe in that 180 is a better for a projection just because we did see that drop in the workload and he's only been in there twice in terms of the volume. It's kind of like the same boat as Scooble. I mean, I don't think Framber ever had the big injury, but these guys haven't been at this total for very long. And we'll kind of touch on this also too with like the big jumps at the end of the pod, but I still think of Framber as one of the workhorses. So I think him being near the top of the projected list, regardless of what the value actually is, I think he belongs to be projected as one of the workhorses.
Yeah, no, I do believe he'll be a workhorse. It was just interesting to see them jump him right back up. He missed a little bit of time early in the year because of an elbow deal, but in the end, it didn't matter. Like you said, I said his second half of the year looked like Framber of old. He looked really good, so wouldn't be too concerned about that one. This one, I'm going to take the under on, barring something completely crazy happening. The 10th pitcher at 193 and a third innings pitched is Kevin Gausman, who, even though he was not great last year, 181 innings, 185, 174, 192. There's a trend, if I keep reading, Ben, he's never thrown 193 innings in his life. And now we're going to project this guy who's going to be 34, who struggled, to all of a sudden put a career high in innings out there. Anything's possible. We said, we just talked about Seth Lugo, just talked about it. I just don't see this one happening now. 180 is still pretty darn good if you can figure anything out, but 193, not counting on it, Ben.
Me neither. You basically saw my thunder there. I was looking at his history, and I first thing I saw was, oh, this is a career high for him. After what happened last year with the shoulder stuff that he started out the year with, and this never got right, and the kind of pitcher that he is, he's basically a two-pitch pitcher. I would not project Gausman for volume, and at that, the volume that he's projected for is not even that good. High ERA, high WHIP for the number of innings that he would give you. I mean, it wouldn't kill you; it just wouldn't help you. So, this is definitely a pass for me on him hitting this total. And like I said before, it's weird that this is their baseline for Gausman because he was treated like an ace, but looking at it now, he never really came close to hitting 200 innings. Just that one year in 2021 with the Giants. But this is a little optimistic in my mind.
Yeah, pretty optimistic for sure. Over the top 10 we just talked about, I think I got about five of these guys hitting it. Maybe five and a half is the way I'd say it. So we'll see where that goes when we talk about this by this time next year. But pretty interesting to see. Any other thoughts on these innings projections before we head to strikeouts, the stuff everyone cares about?
Let's say that we will be coming back to this in a little bit.
Yes, sir. All right, let's talk 200K Club. We have 17 pitchers projected for at least 200 strikeouts. Some will be like, duh, this seems simple, guys. Other ones might stand out a little bit, but that can be said for the 2020 Club we talked about earlier. We'll kick things off right out the gate. The number one projected pitcher in strikeouts should not come to the surprise of many, and that is Paul Skenes. Last year, Paul Skenes had 170 strikeouts and 133 innings pitched. That's good for a 33% K rate, folks. Well, he's projected for nearly a 32% K rate this next year, projected for 242 strikeouts and 188 innings pitched. Ben, if he pitches 188 innings pitched, I have zero problems with this projection.
Yeah, that'd be something. So I'm looking at some of the underlying metrics for Skenes from last year, and he had a 33% K rate, which is on my sheet very dark green, which means very good. But the thing is, his swing strike rate was only 13.1%, which is good, but it doesn't really support a K rate of that much. It could have been a factor of hitters not being used to Skenes. He was a rookie, of course. He throws really hard, but you kind of want to see the swing strike rate be closer to 16% if you're going to have a K rate that high. And I don't have the percentage here on the projection, but I'm assuming that this projected K total is probably around 30% for a K rate.
32%.
Yeah, so it went down a little bit, but still seems a little high for that swing strike rate. And, I mean, granted, Skenes probably deserves to go in the first round like he's going, but if we see a drop in the K rate, I wouldn't be surprised just because of that swing strike rate. I mean, it could always the swing strike rate could always increase as well, but we'd have to see that growth. And I would assume Skenes, if he pitches the whole year, he'll be up north of 200, at least 220 strikeouts, I would say. Yeah. But projecting him to be the leading strikeout pitcher is a little aggressive, I think.
You know what else is a little aggressive, Ben? The second guy on the list. The second guy on the list is Jacob DeGrom, who you have as the number one value, according to Steamer. I say you because you're not you per se, but he was the Steamers' number one value. Jacob DeGrom, coming off a 2024 season where he threw 10 and two-thirds innings, 2023 he threw 30 innings, 2022 he threw 64 innings, Ben. Well, in 2025, they had Jacob DeGrom projected for 176 innings and a whopping 237 strikeouts. Ben, Jacob DeGrom struck out 255 back in 2019, 239 back in 2018. If you guys are good with math, it's been 6 to 7 years since Jacob DeGrom has thrown that many strikeouts. So this one is very tough for me to stomach.
Yeah, I was saying how Steamer is very optimistic when it comes to pitching as well, and DeGrom came to mind immediately when I said that statement. It's, I don't get how you can project him for 176 innings. I mean, in the last few years when people debated when to take DeGrom, they were saying, okay, maybe you hope for 120 innings. And he can't even reach that total. He hasn't hit 120 since 2019 when he had 204. So this is kind of, yeah, this is why you don't want to, I don't want to use projections for any sort of valuation per se. Like hard and fast, like, okay, this is like a ranking based on the pitching projections. But if he's healthy, he should dominate. But I don't see how you can project him for so many innings. And as a result, the Ks that follow in those innings. If you get 200 Ks, I think we'd be lucky because of probably the reduced volume that'll have.
Yeah, like it's not a bad rate to like look at the K per inning stuff, not project whatever innings you're going to have him for. Probably more in the ballpark there, but it's a combination. Like you said, the innings projected goes with the strikeouts, and that's just a whole sticky situation. All right, the third starting pitcher here is Tarik Skubal at 232 strikeouts, 10 fewer than Skeens, but to me, if you believe in the 196 inning projection, four more than last year he threw 228 Ks. So you're seeing four more strikeouts and four more innings pitched. So if you believe the innings pitch jump is to be accurate, well, strikeouts should be in line too, probably.
Yeah. So looking at the same things I looked at with Skeens, Skubal had a 30% K rate last year, but his swing strike rate was 14.6. So it was almost a 2-to-1 ratio. So I think this is sustainable. I would put my money on Skubal probably leading the majors in wins over Skeens. And they have Skubal third. What was that?
Strikeouts or wins?
Oh, sorry, strikeouts.
But, yeah, I just want to make sure. I'm like, we still have the Tigers. They did good this year, but let's still the Tigers.
I wasn't even looking at wins. I don't know why I said wins. Yeah, I would not bet on Skubal to lead the majors in wins. That's for sure. But in terms of strikeouts, I think he is a safe bet to lead the league again, assuming health. And I think he proved last year that Skubal is healthy. And no problem with him being on the top three. I would, like I said, I think he'd be my top projected K pitcher.
For sure. Now it gets a little more fun. Chris Sale comes in at number four here at 230 strikeouts. Chris Sale's coming off 177 innings, Cy Young season, most likely has not been announced yet. And in that 177 innings, struck out 225. Well, they haven't projected for 10 more innings, five more Ks. Again, if you believe in the innings pitch bump, that is totally fine. But this is Chris Sale again, who pitched 102 innings in 2023, five in 2022. It's been a long – he hasn't pitched 177 since 2017. And he basically the only year he backed all this up, he backed it up from 12 to 17. That was good. But it's been injury-riddled since then is where I'm trying to go with this. So to project Sale to have a back-to-back big season at age 36 might be asking a little too much in my opinion.
I say he's asking a lot, especially since he finished the year hurt. He didn't pitch for the Braves in the playoffs or when they needed him in that doubleheader versus the Mets. And yeah, you mentioned 2017. That's even longer than DeGrom for hitting like this inning threshold. Granted, Sale did have 158 in 2018, 147 in 2019, but to project him to have this many, 187, is asking for too much. And as a result, I think the Ks won't be there. I mean, like with the other pitchers that we mentioned so far, obviously they have very high K rates. It's just that without the volume, these strikeout totals won't be met. And Sales is a victim of that. I think if he goes 160, you're probably happy because the ratios will be there. He'll probably get a lot of wins. That's where wins matter now. But the Ks, maybe like with DeGrom, if he's around 200 Sale, you'll take it because of the good everything else. But you can't really project him for this many, considering how the season ended for him.
Yeah, and let's not forget, like, we love 200 strikeouts. That's totally cool because if you go back last season, only 11 pitchers had 200 or more strikeouts. So they're projecting 17 pitchers to do so. No one had more than Skubal's 228. We have five guys projected to go 228 or more. So let's just be realistic on, like, that's what we're talking about. These projections, they can give you a ballpark number, but a lot of it's, if anything, is you can use it for strikeouts per innings pitch. Now, how many innings do you think they're going to go? Start having fun with that. And it's, that could be a starting point to see where things go. Like this next guy, the fifth on the board here is Blake Snell, 228 strikeouts, which last year, you know, 104 innings pitched, 145 Ks. That projects to a pretty solid back and forth. They're a near 35% strikeout rate. It's been above a 30% K rate every year since 2018, Ben. It's just been a matter of innings due to injuries or the Rays, is the way I'll put it. 180 innings, though, in 2023, saw 234 Ks. So 176 innings projected, 228 Ks. If you believe the year he had in San Diego is the year 11, 2025, this checks out. What do you believe?
Yeah, when you look at his career totals, the high innings, it would be the third most of Snell's career. But he has always had a very high K rate, like you're saying. And I think because of that, I don't know if I'd go this high. It's still very high for a projection. 220 strikeouts is asking for a lot. Like you just said, this was the leader's total last year. And now we have five guys projected for it so far. But in terms of ranking among starters, I think as long as Snell pitches the entire year, he will be top five in strikeouts. He has that rate for his career. And I don't recall him. He had that weird injury. Who knows if he was actually hurt because he was so terrible before.
He had his abductor, his groin injury.
Okay. So, well, that's positive, though. It's not an arm injury.
Yep.
So he was actually hurt. But it wasn't anywhere where you're going to be concerned, really.
With Snell, he was very vocal the second time he got hurt that he wanted to stay in rehab more. The Giants kept trying to rush him back. And, you know, it's partly his problem. It's his you know, agent's problem. But he said flat out, I wasn't ready to come back when I was. So take that with forever grain of salt. Because once he did the full rehab he wanted to do, Blake Snell looked amazing in the second half. So let's see if he can sign somewhere early and we might get that 2023 Snell also.
Yep.
So just a few. I'm biased. I think he's a great pitcher. It's just always been innings with Snell. There's no denying that one for sure. All right. Next up on the agenda, Dylan Cease, the sixth pitcher here, 225 strikeouts. Cease coming off an outstanding year. He struck out 224 in 189 innings. He's projected for 189 yet again and one more strikeout. So we've seen it he's had four straight years of at least 214 Ks, Ben. This is another one like outside of maybe Skubal where I'm like, okay, I can see this with Dylan Cease.
Yeah, this is not crazy. He should be near the top of the projected Ks leaderboard. And the 189 innings for Cease, that would tie last year's, which was a career high by five innings. So not reasonable. I mean, he's been 184, 177, 189. So Cease for this volume, I think is fine. It's just a matter of how good do you think the skills will be? Will he go back to 2023 Cease, or will he be, which would kind of be like Aaron Nola if he did regress back, because he was very good in 2022 and 2024. But yeah, this is one of the safer K totals and why I would be interested in drafting Cease, I think, as long as I have a pretty good whip anchor before him, assuming that I take a pitcher before I take Cease.
Yep, 100% on board with you on this one. Next up, we have Hunter Green. Now, this one, I just laugh, basically. 224 strikeouts. I think we can agree Green has elite strikeout stuff. 169 Ks this last year and 150 innings. Maybe not elite, but pretty darn good. It's just been a matter of how many innings. Like, 150 innings this last year is the most he's ever had. They got him up to 182. It's just tough to go deep into games when you're in Great American Small Park. That's just the realistic situation, let alone he's battled injuries off and on. I can't get behind this at all.
No, and it's the 182 innings that come along with it would be 30 more than his career high of this past year, which is asking a lot to project an increase of that much, especially when he's been battling arm injuries. And we know they throw so hard. I mean, like with the other guys, talking about DeGrom and Sale, the K rate will be there for Green. It should be. It's just the volume is a question, and I wouldn't necessarily project Green to be in the top 10 in strikeouts, at least totals. It's just, especially when this is the first projection of the guys we've been talking about where it's the ERA is above four, and the WHIP's above is it's the highest WHIP so far, 1.25 for Steamer, for Green, and I just wouldn't project this volume for him yet at this point in his career.
Yeah, that kind of WHIP will just crush the volume in a heartbeat, as you're basically saying. So makes it tough. Next up, the eighth on the board here is Garrett Crochet, 222 strikeouts. We just talked about him being one of the better values, according to Steamer. He's like the fifth pitcher off the board these days, I believe. Let me double check that before I completely out of school. No, he's the 19th pitcher off the board. They were just saying
fifth per Steamer.
Fifth per Steamer. There you go. That's what it was. Thank you. Crochet's projected for 170 innings, and he's projected for 222 strikeouts. If I could read, that'd go a long ways here. Last year, he struck out 209 in 148 innings. So if you believe in the innings bump, that's fair. I think the innings bump is the big question here.
Yeah, they're assuming an increase of 24 innings, which is not a lot. It's just a matter of how does Crochet respond to the increased workload. I think what the White Sox did, it definitely stung for fantasy, but I think it should help Crochet not break down this year because he pitched the whole year, just a little controlled at the end. And so honestly, out of DeGrom, Sale, and Green, the three major red flags that I've had so far, I think I'm more confident that Crochet hits this volume than those guys do because he's younger. He's not hurt. It's just they're just being cautious with him. Of course, there's the workload bump, but he was just doing like bullpens essentially at the end of the year, the 3-4 innings every outing. And even the one he basically got skipped, I think it was like a rain delay or something, or it was like one out and then that was it. So I don't know if I would – seeing him as the fifth ranked or fifth projected starter is nice, Crochet. So if you can get him as your SP2 in a draft, if you're going to be a little pitching heavy, I kind of like that. But also I would want him to get traded though, because he had six wins in a full year last year. I mean, the short starts definitely hurt him, but he wasn't getting a lot of help on the White Sox. I don't expect that to change this year, but in terms of strikeouts, he should be near the top. I could see him hitting 200 Ks for sure. I don't know about 222, but 200 should be within reach for Crochet.
Yeah, he did over 200 last year, like you said, and everything points, all the rumors, all the whatever, he's going to be traded before the season starts. So that'll make a interesting difference as well. The ninth pitcher here, Cole Reagans, 219 strikeouts. Reagans is one of those guys, can he give you the innings? Threw 186 this year after throwing 96 in 2023. That's a 90 inning pitch bump. That is large, folks. But 223 Ks in those 186 innings. So, you know, they're projecting him to throw four fewer strikeouts in seven more innings, Ben. So again, if you believe the innings, this is a pretty no-brainer, honestly.
Yeah, this is one where Steamer's projecting Reagan for a career high in innings, which I wouldn't do. I'm kind of with Crochet. I'm not concerned as much about the workload because, for as far as we know, Reagan's is healthy. He basically did double his career high from 2023, but he did start 12 games at the end of the season that year. I think this is all right. It's just I have to dig in and see how I really feel about Reagan's, but I think projecting him for 219 Ks is kind of asking for a lot for a projection. But I think, I mean, that's the theme with all these guys. I think it's safe to say that we both agree the K projections are relatively high for everyone. But I think Reagan should, barring any injuries, he should be near the top of the leaderboard again this upcoming year.
Yep, I'm with you. 10th pitcher, Zach Wheeler, 212 strikeouts. Again, if he gets his innings, I don't blame him because the last few years, 224, 212, 163, 247. Dude's been a strikeout guy, especially when he gets the innings. That 163 is when he threw 153 innings. So if he goes over 190 innings, he's pretty much getting you 200 Ks in the last three times he's done that. I don't see how this seems pretty reasonable if you aren't concerned with the age like you were for the innings pitched.
Yeah, I'm not too concerned. Just something to keep in mind because he is getting older. But Wheeler, he's honestly the first one of the guys we talked about where he's more of a volume play to get to this level because he has the most innings so far, and he's ninth, tenth on the list now, and so he's almost at a 1-to-1 or a K-to-9 of 9. It's going to be a little, it's projected to be a little bit more than that right now with the 212 to 199, but the other guys were like 230 to 185. There was a pretty big gap between the Ks and the innings. And so Wheeler, assuming he has the volume, he'll get a lot of Ks. It's just that he doesn't have the rate stats of the other guys. But with Wheeler, you're assuming the awesome ERA and whip. And like I mentioned earlier, with the, when we talked about him for the innings, a lot of wins as well. So I'm not saying he's not a bad strikeout pitcher, Wheeler. It's just that he has to pitch a lot to get that because of how the rates are for him now. I mean, he was below 10 K per nine two of the last 4 years. Not the best stat, but when you look at K percentage, he was below, he was like 27%, which is in those 2 years, which is good. But like the other guys, they were above 30% that we mentioned before. So it's definitely volume is getting him to this point in the projected rankings. It's just something to keep in mind. Like if you draft Fleer, don't assume that you have a huge K guy, because if he goes on the IL for any time, you're going to be lacking a little bit, I think.
Yeah, most definitely. That is always the conundrum with these injuries. The 11th guy, Logan Gilbert, projected for 208 innings. I think we talked about it with his high projected – or 208 Ks. We talked about his high innings projection of 199. We've seen the bump every year. We've seen the strikeouts come up every year. Like we said, if you're a believer in him being that fourth best pitcher, strikeouts are pretty much in line here.
Yeah, and also he has – so Gilbert has yet to – well, actually, his K rate of 27% this year was his highest of his career, but he still doesn't have a K per nine above 10, which has been a given for most of these guys. I know K per nine isn't as good, but it's still a good measuring stick, I think. The K rate did increase a lot, which is good for Gilbert. And it's kind of like – and I think I heard others – I think it was – Dr. Dave and Tony were talking about Gilbert as their ace, and they were concerned about strikeouts this year when they took him in their main event that did that finished fifth overall. And I you can see why, because like Gilbert's his main calling card is definitely his whip, I think, and the ERA now too. It's just that he's good, and he's like a lesser version of Wheeler. He's going to give you safety in the ratios, but the Ks aren't elite like the other guys we mentioned earlier. So just, if you take Gilbert as your ace, just be mindful that you may not be set in strikeouts. Same thing with Wheeler.
Yep, totally agree with you on that one. All right, the 12th off the board here is Freddy Peralta. This is a fun one because they haven't projected for 205 strikeouts over the last 2 years. He's thrown 200 and 210, which is obviously a plus. But they also have him for 178 innings this year, which would be a career high. He threw 173 and two-thirds this past year. Yeah, if he throws 178, I'm all for it. But he's got 165, 173 the last 2 years. I guess 178 isn't out of the question for Freddie. And he's got elite strikeout stuff. So 205, somewhere in that range, is probably pretty safe.
Yeah, I mean, he has hit 200 Ks the last two seasons by not pitching that many innings. And you mentioned it would be a career high if he hit this innings total. But it's not by a lot. So it's just weird that you would project a career high at any point, you know. For any pitcher, unless they're like they're a second year player and they came up halfway through the year, maybe that makes sense to project a career high. But Peralta's been around for a long time and he's had arm troubles and just doesn't go deep into games a lot. So I think the Ks, assuming like he's relatively healthy, like he's been the last 2 years, Freddie should have close to 200 Ks. And it makes sense that he's kind of near the middle of this list or down near the bottom of the 200 strikeout pitchers. But it's just volume is key for him.
Yep, most definitely. Number 13, Gerrit Cole. Projected for 204 strikeouts. It's a guy that threw 95 innings this past year after being just a 200-inning machine pretty much for the last 6-7 years at least. He's been 200-plus Ks 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of the last 6 years. Or I guess don't count 2020, so last five full seasons. I guess it just comes to the question, Ben, do you believe in health? Do you believe in him getting back to his normal workload? If so, the strikeouts match. I'm just concerned the workload might not be happening, not to mention not as dominating as he once was.
Yeah, a lot of the same things that I said for Logan Gilbert and Zach Wheeler and those other volume pitchers that are up here for strikeouts kind of apply to Cole. And Cole has a little bit of the Aaron Nola and Corbin Burns issue where not as many years now, but since 2021, Cole's K per nine has dropped every year, as well as his K percentage. It's gone from 33.5% in 2021 down to 25.4% this year. So essentially 8 percentage points of decline, which is not good. And especially for someone at Cole's age, he just came off the elbow issue. His swing strike rate has dropped every year since 2019. It was down to 10.7% this past season, which is not good, especially by Cole's standards. It's not good at all. So you're relying on volume for Cole to get you this many Ks at this point, I think. And considering what happened last year and he didn't get surgery to correct anything, a little scary to project this for Cole. But, I mean, this is solely track record-based projection. And this is part of the reason why I didn't want the Yankees to add on that extra year and re-sign him. But Cashman's stupid, and now I have to deal with this for 5 more years probably or whatever. But hopefully he holds up and I am wrong.
Yeah, the back end of those 5 years might feel Pujols-esque there, and that's going to be pretty rough. We mentioned Corbin Burns earlier. He is 14th on the list, projected for 203 Ks. You mentioned Garrett Cole getting the kind of – they used his long-term career to help with the projection. That's what they did for Burns, because I think we both already talked about in the innings pitched. 181 Ks last year. Now we got him back up to 203. I just don't see how that's going to happen unless a massive shift in philosophy on the mound takes place.
Yeah. So I remember looking at Burns's underlying stats, and it seems like he's the starter version of Emmanuel Clase, because Burns has that cutter that he loves, and his ground ball rate was a career high almost. I guess second highest of the full seasons for Burns, 48.2% ground ball rate. And the velocity is still there, like I mentioned earlier, at least on the cutter. It was 95.3 miles per hour, which is actually a career high for that. But he's not getting the Ks anymore, and I think that's what happens with Class A, because I'm pretty sure Class A uses a cutter. And it keeps Burns from having a high BABIP. So the last 3 years, I think this is how he's been able to get away with losing the K rate, is Burns's BABIP has been 259, 244, and then 269 this year. And that's for the hitters against him. So all well below average BABIPs. And maybe he's just pitching that way, but who knows if that's sustainable. So as of right now, he's a less than a K per inning pitcher. So he really needs a volume that he has to pitch 200 something innings. And they're actually projecting Burns to be above a K per inning again this year.
Yeah.
But unless something changes, I don't see why that would happen. I mean, maybe by chance it's just a variance thing because he's so close to a K per inning now, but there's a lot of red flags in his profile for being a top K pitcher, I think, going forward.
Yep, ton of question marks with this one to kind of project him to be a 203 strikeout guy once again. A couple more here. Pablo Lopez comes in at number 15, 203 strikeouts for Pablo. This one's interesting because I like Pablo, 3 straight years of at least 180 innings. He's thrown 174, 234, 198 strikeouts over those 3 seasons of 180-plus innings. So pretty good in the strikeout department. He's actually gotten better each of the last 2 years in a per-inning basis on the strikeout department. Projected for 193 innings, gives him 203 strikeouts. That checks out if you expect him to get his second-most innings over the last of his career, essentially. So I'm not completely against this one. It's just a matter of, do you think Pablo gets the innings necessary to get these strikeouts?
Yeah, it's a tough question to answer. It's he was at probably 193, which would be second most of his career. But it seems like he's healthy now, Pablo, which has always been the concern that I had with him. So he's healthy till he's not, I think, going forward. And he's only eclipsed 200 strikeouts once, and that was 2023 when he had the massive spike in K rate. He had a 29% K rate that year. It dropped to 25.6 in 2024. So 3.5 percentage points led to a pretty big reduction in the K rate, or K total, that is. And this projection has him more for like a K per inning, roughly. I think he's better than that. I still view Pablo as a strikeout pitcher. So maybe this is one where the innings aren't there, but the Ks will be, I think. So I think this projection is fair for the K rate, or the Ks for Pablo.
All right, you want to know one that's not fair? The next one. Tyler Glasnow, 16th off the board, projected for 202 strikeouts. Now, give me a second here. He threw 134 innings this last year, most of his career, 120 the year before that. Injured the year, hurt. I don't believe whatever he has to say about it. I feel great. Don't believe it. He had 168 strikeouts last year, career high. Now we got him for 153 innings and 190 strikeouts. Not agreeing with any of this, Ben.
No, there's no way you can realistically project him for this volume, whether it's the innings or the strikeouts. I mean, I'm sure the rate stats out of this projection would be fine, and they're on par with his career. But until he shows that he can pitch the whole year, I'm not buying this at all. He's kind of old. Glass now, he's going to be 31. Yeah. Like people probably think that he's kind of young still, but he's been toiling for a long time. And there's no way you can project volume like this for Glass now.
Not a chance. 17th pitcher, over 200 strikeouts. The final one here, Carlos Rodon of your New York Yankees. You have two of them, Ben. Two. Carlos Rodon projected for 201 strikeouts here at 195 last year, 237 in 2022, 185 in 2021. So three of the last 4 years, pretty serviceable. Looking for 176 innings. He's done 175 or more in two of the last 3 years. That's doable. It's just a matter of, do you think he can do that again? I think he can. So 201, I could. I'm not like 100% there, but I could see it for sure.
I don't see it for a projection. So when you look at Rodon's career, he had only 178 innings was his career high. This projection has him for 176. So basically not exceeding any career highs. So I'm fine with the innings projection, but he had that massive K year in 2022 where he had 237, the only time he was above 200. And so with the volume of 175 innings this past year, which is one off from the projection or two off from the projection, he had 195 strikeouts. And Rodon, I think, I don't know, you're really asking for the skills to bounce back to that elite level to hit 200. And there was some issues with him. Like he was always trying to find the correct pitch mix. I know he messed with the changeup. The cutter seemed to screw with his slider. So there was stretches where he was great, Rodon, and then there was times where he was just awful. I had him on a main event. It was not a fun ride. And I think his rate stats are good, but I just, because of the injury history as well, I don't know if I can project him for 200 Ks just because he only hit it once, and it was that year where everything kind of clicked with the Giants, of course. So maybe that's why you have a little fonder memories of him than I do.
That's fair enough. Fair enough. All right, so there we have it. We had 17 pitchers projected over 200 strikeouts. We did the top 10 innings. In those top 10 innings, Ben, only four of them were on the strikeout sheet. So that tells to show you that a lot of these elite strikeout guys, they are pumping Ks. That's not a per innings basis type thing. They're multiple, like probably like you said, most of them 10, 11, 12 K per nine type guys. That's how they get here compared to most of the others. All right, before we get to the listener questions, Ben, let's go to what we've kind of been teasing, is you did a little more deep diving into some of these projections over recent years. So I'm going to give the floor to you on this one. Very interesting data you picked up here. And I think it's very, very interesting because most of us, you, me, many others, don't think pitching projections are all that useful when it comes to, you know, doing your draft work. Maybe we're wrong. I don't know. What do you got?
Yeah, who knows? We'll see. But yeah, so I do utilize the aggregate of Steamer and a couple other projection systems to get like a pitcher ranking or a starting pitching ranking. So I want to know where the starters are in relation to each other, just in the back of my mind. But in terms of actual numbers, I don't really care. And that's how it's been. I think when I came into using projections, that's kind of been, as you mentioned, a lot of others have that mentality. So it made sense to me because all the factors that go into pitching, like you can have pitch changes, volume or velocity increases, decreases, et cetera. So many different things can come into play. But I was just curious because I wanted to do this with the hitters and I never did when we talked last week. But what I have in front of us, and I'll try to articulate it as best as I can for the listeners, is a simple table. It breaks out Steamer's projections by number of innings and number of strikeouts. So we kind of already went down this path, but this is just a macro look at it now. So I have buckets of 190 plus innings. So the big workhorses, 170 plus, 150 plus, and these are inclusive thresholds or buckets. So the hitter or the pitchers in the 190 plus inning bucket are also included in the 170 plus and the 150 plus. So it's just getting a general sense for the volume of the projections that the projections are estimating. And then for the strikeouts, I have 200 plus, 180 plus, 160 plus. And I have several columns. I have 2025 actual, which is all question marks, yet to be seen. I have 2025 Steamer. And then I have all the way back to 2022 of actuals and Steamer projections. so I guess I still read down the comms slowly, and then I have some comments that I sent to you, Bubba, when I looked this up, and some takeaways that kind of make this actionable or just help summarize my findings, I guess. So in 2022, Steamer projected 12 starters for 190 plus innings. Today we covered 15. So in 2023, it was 17, 2024, or 2024, it was 13, and then this year, 15. So it went from 12, 17, 13, 15. So all relatively the same amount. So nothing's off there. In 2022, the actual was 14. So it was 14, 2022, 15, 2023, only 9 last year. So up until last year, we were all above at least 12 or at least 14 every year and projected for the mid-teens. So Seymour's pretty good about projecting the workhorse pitchers. Now they have second most in the last few years, 15 compared to 2023, 17. So we'll see what happens. 170-plus innings was all in the 40 ranges until this year for Steamer projections. They project 59 pitchers for 170-plus. And this kind of raised my eyebrows. 45, 48, 43, 59. That's a big boost. And I'll get back to that eventually.
Yeah.
And then you go to 150-plus. Steamer projects 80 in 2022, then 90, then 79, and now 117. So that's a big boost. That's almost 30 more than the next high, which is 2023. And then if you look at the actuals, it was only off by 6 pitchers in 2022. It was 45 to 39 for 170 plus. It was only off by 11 in 2023, and then only off by 2 in 2024. So they did relatively well projecting the 170 plus pitchers, or the number of pitchers with that many innings. And then 150 plus was a little more, a little less accurate in 2022 and 2023. They projected 80 and 90 for those years, but it was only 62 and 58. So they were a little aggressive with how many pitchers would give decent volume in those years. But last year it was 79 to 71. And then I'll reiterate again, it's 117 now, which is a huge boost. So that has me questioning that part of the projection so far. So anything before I go on strikeouts?
No, it's just, I guess the only thing that'd be way too difficult to figure out is how many that they project are they projected to be in each bucket actually were the pitchers in that bucket, or are they, because we're just looking at overall pitchers, not this are not the same ones that got in that bucket, correct?
Correct. Yeah, I could do that, so I that's could always come
way
back
too much work probably. But I'm saying, like, that was like my only thought, but that's something that's way too probably difficult. It's still proving the point that they projected X amount and this is how many got there. But yeah, I'm really curious, because if we're looking at you know, we talked about 10 guys that are going to have over 193 innings. How many of those exact 10 hit that bucket is interesting.
Yeah. So the main takeaway for the innings is that they've been relatively accurate for 170 plus over the last 3 years. Except for the 150 plus, it was like on the money last year. It's kind of struggled in 2023, 2022. And this is also with differing environments where hitting was up or down. It's kind of ping pong the last few seasons, where it's been more hitter friendly versus pitcher friendly. And Steamer has been relatively, so it hasn't really affected the volume for starters in those environments. So then we'll move on to the K's now. In 2022, Steamer projected 15 pitchers for 200 plus strikeouts. That was 18 in 2023, only 11 last year. And then this year we're back to 17, which is more in line with the prior 2 years. And in terms of the actuals, it was 11 to 15 in 2022. It was 17 to 18 in 2023. And then again, last year they were around the money. It was 11 to 11. So that's pretty impressive. And then we go down to 180 plus strikeouts. It was 28 and projected in 2022 versus 2023 was 31. Very similar. Then we have 29 last year. And now this year it's 41. So we're seeing, like I was kind of alluding to earlier, pretty optimistic projections for number of strikeouts by Steamer so far. And in terms of the actuals, it was in the 20s every year. When it was 28 projected in 2022, there were 22. The next year in 2023, it was 31 projected, 29 actual with 180 plus strikeouts. And then last year, not as good as the other categories, but still relatively good. 29 pitchers projected for 180 strikeouts, and there are only 22 that hit that. Now this year, okay, 41, like I mentioned before. So hit that home again. A little optimistic right now. And I won't get into the details for 160, but relatively accurate again, but this year is a big boost. It's 64 compared to the previous high of 53 pitchers in 2023. So once again, more optimism for the number of Ks. And then that's a lot of numbers. So I'm going to try to break it down now into some brief sentences that I wrote down when I sent this to Bubba. The first one is, despite the offensive environments being quite different, like I alluded to, especially 2022, 2023, the actuals are eerily similar. They were off by one in terms of 190 plus innings, only two 170 plus innings, and only four 150 plus innings. And they were identical in the number of 160 plus strikeout pitchers, 39 to 39, which is interesting when 2022 was starved of offense and 2023 was very hitter friendly. Then after being in the same ranges for 3 years in a row, like I mentioned earlier, the Steamers projecting a big boost in pitching production, innings, and Ks. But the one note I put was that, so the Steamer projections that I plucked here are from right before the season started. So it's the most updated version of Steamer that accounts for injuries and who else, I mean, role changes. So if we were to look at this again, I would expect that like the 117, 150 plus innings pitchers,
it's got to come back quite a bit.
It'd be under 100, I feel like.
It's a good point. That makes a lot more sense now.
Yeah, and so if you're using Steamer pitching projections to draft, just be careful with your volume, I think.
Well, I noticed one thing I do as I've been drafting a DC right now, there's a lot of guys that I think will have an impact this year, but they're not projected to be in the starting rotation just yet. So they're projected for like 14 starts and like 40 appearances out of the bullpen. We all know how quickly that can shift. So that's where figuring that kind of stuff could, and it goes both directions. So it's like guys that are projected for 28 starts could eventually just come down the whole different way. So I'm with you on that as well.
Right. And the other couple of notes were just more about the environments and how, so the one note I have was after a down year for offense 2022, the 2023 projections were slightly higher and over forecasted all the buckets. So they kind of, overcompensated the pitching environment, I think is what I'm trying to say there. And then the switch. And then the last thing I have here is the switch from an offensive environment in 23 to a pitching heavy last year was actually handled pretty nicely. Cause I was, they nailed the pitching landscape, I guess. So to your point, we would want to go back and match up. Okay. So which of these pitchers that were projected for 200 strikeouts actually finished with 200 plus, which I could easily do, but I think but yeah, right. That's why I didn't do it. Also because like when we did the hitting review or the hitting projections, remember how many guys were way off on their projections? It's more for the aggregate is what you yeah. use projections for. It's not, you're not trying to nail a hitter to be perfect. It's when you have all your hitters or all your pitchers on the team, you're hoping that the projections for all those players kind of equal what the actual production will be. So I think that's what this is saying to me is that at least in terms of Steamer, they don't do that awful of a job of projecting volume in terms of how many pitchers are hitting these thresholds and also how many Ks are being or how many Ks are accumulating by these starters. So no, hopefully that makes sense.
No, it makes sense to me, but I've also had time to look at it and listen to you talk while I look at it, and maybe not others have it that easy, but it makes a ton of sense to me. And I like the part you mentioned there at the end is, you know, I'm the guy that's like, well, who were the actual ones that did it? But you make a great point. When we're just looking at projections, we're trying to kind of get an idea on how good they are in general, because you're not going to be dead on with all of them. Like you said, with the hitters, we looked at the differences away, good and bad from the projection, and you want to be at least, you know, average to better, potentially something in that range. Same can go for pitchers when we're talking the Z scores and all that kind of stuff. So it is interesting to at least as a whole, you know, they might not have nailed the same 11 guys, but they got 11, which tells you at least they're in the, like their thought process of projecting, making the projections is pretty good. Is what, like, that's my caveman way of going with what you're saying here is it makes sense in that regard. So like we look at 17, there's 17 projected for 200 plus innings. Like, I think we all know that these 17 aren't going to get there, but let's dig deep and go, who are like eight guys that could surprise us? Cause I bet you, if you look back at last year, Scuba wasn't on that list. Skeens wasn't on that. Like, you just go down the list. Like, there's all these guys that weren't there type thing. Now flip it and go the other way. Okay. This year, who are guys we could, you know, think make the jump? And that's kind of where you win your edges and drafts. That's a whole nother discussion for another day, but you can start with the base projection and kind of go from there. So yeah, that's my two cents. Could be way off, but that's kind of where I'm looking at it on this one.
So. Yeah. And the other thing that you said to me too, which we haven't said yet on the podcast, is that how did the bat do in this regard? And then also ATC and the other systems. It's just Steamer that I'm looking at. And I do incorporate a couple other systems into my pitching projections, which I get my pitching rankings in terms of projected finish. But so it gives me a little more confidence to know that Steamer is kind of know what they're talking about in terms of environment.
Yeah, and it's something we can keep playing with as more projections come out. Maybe there's one better than the other. Maybe an aggregate gives us a really good idea. There's like a bunch of different ways that these stat guys that are pretty smart can kind of figure things out outside of my pay grade for sure. All right, a couple listener questions here. We have one in the chat from PJ. He says, hey, guys, how are you adjusting your projections for Tampa Bay Rays, who will be playing in a minor league park for sure? I'll let you on the floor, Ben, because I have my thoughts, but you're going to see plenty of that ballpark. You should know that. It's a single-A Yankees ballpark. I'm just kidding.
Well, I mean, I saw someone post it almost identical to the actual Yankee Stadium in terms of dimensions.
It's going
to
lefties are going to love it.
Yeah, and I, honestly, too, left field and Yankee Stadium is pretty short down the line. People always are focused on right field, but it's only 318 to left in Yankee Stadium. But hopefully the projections will actually capture that for me. I don't want to go try to – you don't want to try to compensate for something that you don't know if the projection actually is already accounting for. Whether it's, I don't know, people have talked about barrel rates before in the past, but that's why I do my rankings before I look at projections, because I want to see how I feel about all players, and then I'll incorporate the projections more so for when I'm drafting and as a sanity check compared to ADP, stuff like that. But going into my prep, I won't pay too much attention to it. I don't think I'll probably forget about it, honestly, as I go through things. But I usually just look at the players as on a player by player basis, and then adjust for the projections afterwards. And like I said before, I'm sure the projections will try to factor it in somehow.
Yeah, I'm not sure if others are doing it yet, but the Bat X, part of the Bat X process is Statcast and park factors and stuff. And Cardi's pretty good at even looking into new ballparks. He's pretty savvy on that. Still, it's kind of a guess because we've never seen a professional team play in these ballparks. You get the summers in Florida, you get the always raining in Florida situations, a million things that could take place along a season in Tampa outside. There's a reason they have a dome in Tampa, but good point. But the layout they have here, yes, definitely a short porch and left. You'd imagine it's going to favor the hitters more so, but you've seen it in Yankee Stadium. Pitchers can be successful. There's ways around it at the same time. And so I would give a boost to the left-handed hitters. Like everyone said, Brandon Lowe, Josh Lowe, those kind of guys. Brandon Lau, I mean, Josh Lowe. I don't blame them for getting excited there, but at the same time, I'm not going to get too crazy with it, if that makes sense as well. Like, I like Sacramento way more than I do Tampa Bay, but I'm very biased there because most don't agree with me. All right. Some other listener questions. We got a couple from last week, then I'll get tonight's for us. We have some hitters real quick, Ben. Let's change our brains for 2 seconds here. Go to the hitting side of things. Todd Whitestone says, hey, Ben, how about taking a look at Yainer Diaz? Yainer hit .299 with 16 home runs and 84 RBIs. You think he can maintain a high .280s batting average? Well, I know he asked you, Ben, but he's done it for 2 straight years.
Yeah, I think I have to go back to when we talked about Yainer. I forget what show it was, but I am a fan of his average for sure. The one thing that is concerning is his chase rate, but other hitters have been able to survive poor chase rates and still be a plus in batting average. It's just really the power is a little concerning for him. We saw fewer homers and more plate appearances last year for Yainer Diaz, but in terms of average, I think he should definitely help you. You can project him to help you in average for sure.
And one thing I want to mention, because I noticed this when I was doing my catchers for the Black Book, is first half, you know, he hit 7 homers in 85 games. He was kind of struggling, many thought. Dude still hit .284 when he was struggling. In the second half, when the power came back, he had 9 homers in the second half. He hit .319. Like, the batting average is legit skill for Yainer Diaz. There's a lot to like there with Mr. Diaz. All righty. Joey G wants to know about Josh Naylor, I'm guessing, with his projection, Ben. When we're looking at Josh Naylor here, we have a projection for 141 games, played 152 last year, 26 homers, 77 runs, 88 ribbies, 7 steals, and a .266 average. I'm not opposed to it, but what are your thoughts here?
I think the runs are optimistic because Naylor has never been good at scoring runs. He had 84 last year, but before that, his career high was 52, which is pretty atrocious. So I guess they're assuming that this is a new baseline for him, but he's kind of slow, Naylor. And there's a reason why he scored so few runs up until this past season. I think the average increasing is pretty safe. 243 was kind of out of the norm for him. But like I said, he is slow. I think he hits a lot of ground balls too, if I recall correctly from what we talked about Naylor previously. Yeah, so if you're slow and a lot of ground balls, it's not a good combo for average. He doesn't strike out a lot though, so that's a plus for him. And I think, oh yeah, he was in the BABIP show because he had a pretty low BABIP last year. But for power, I think he's fine. From what I've been hearing, first base is a little sketchy, and he's probably one of the quote-unquote safer options. So I'm sure I'll be interested in Naylor. The projection seems pretty fair. It doesn't seem too extreme one way or the other.
Yeah, that's why I'm like, I could see a little drop here, maybe an increase here, but I'm not like opposed to most of that line. But I'm also been biased. I've been a big Naylor guy for the last couple of years, so I'm not going to deny that. Our buddy Martin Sokolsky says, what about Shane Baz? He's quite curious there, and I think he's more as wanting our opinion because he's a very good prospect guy, so he's probably got his own idea here. But we saw Baz get 79 and a third innings last year, kind of short starts, looked decent. This next year, projected for 147 innings, been only 23 starts compared to 42 total games. Again, this could be a guy we just mentioned. We could see a fluctuation in innings depending on things, but the Rays usually baby it. 4.2 ERA, Ben. What are your thoughts on Shane Baz's projection here versus what reality might have in store?
They're kind of asking for a Cole Reagans-esque increase or Garrett Crochet-esque increase because the total of 147 would kind of be doubling his career high, which was last year. And they're not even kind with the ratios. Steamer is not.
Let me give you this real quick, though. If you combine AAA with it, he had 100 and almost 39 innings.
Ah, you're right. I pulled up MLB or MILB.com for this very reason because I knew in case we had prospects or I wanted to see the total. So there you go. Bubba did help me out there. So the 147 isn't very far off. Steamer doesn't like the skills for Baz. See the walk rate. The walk rate, well, the K rate wasn't very good last year, but I think he was coming back from injury. Maybe yes, give him a break there.
Missed all of 2023.
Yeah. He's definitely one of those flyers. I don't know what Baz's ADP is, but I feel like he's all gamble post pick 200. But I mean, knowing NFBC, that he's probably going ahead of that.
153.
Yeah, so that's a little bit of a gamble. That's like your SP3, SP4, and yeah.
He's going six picks ahead of Sandy Alcantara. I'll take Sandy.
Yeah, for as much as I was not really glossing over Sandy, I would definitely take Sandy over Baz at that ADP. Yeah. I don't know. It's tough because of the injuries with Baz, but workload, I guess, to your point, shouldn't be an issue. So it's whether you trust the bounce back and the skills.
Well, it's like a catch 22 because it was like almost 140 innings without pitching in 2023. They did baby him along the way. He's like, he made 24 starts for those 140 innings. So it's not like he was going super deep in those games. But they only have him for 23 starts this next year. So it's one of those, I think they're underplaying him. Like, he might only be a five-inning guy, but why doesn't he get 30 starts if he's healthy type thing? And that could play out differently. So I don't have a high ceiling for Shane Baz just yet, but I think they might be downplaying. You know, the skills might be kind of in line, but he was so much better before he got hurt. So can he find that new next level? Like, he's a gamble. He's a gamble that could pay off in a big way, could also backfire tremendously, I have a feeling. So it's interesting. It's interesting.
Yeah, he had 23 walks, Baz, and 39 innings in the minors last year. And so that's more than one every two innings. And, yeah, he had wasn't as bad when he got to the majors, but the K rate was really down. So maybe he's just trying to work on throwing strikes. Who knows?
Yep, I'm with you there. All right, Wake Up says Kevin Gossman, who we did talk about in the strikeout projection area because they have him going pretty frisky. They got a career high in innings, basically, and other things. I think you and I both think this projection's a bit high.
Yep, for sure.
All righty. And then the last question I have for us here is from @futures_bet. How do you guys use these projections? Obviously, Steamer doesn't take into consideration injury history. Lots of innings pitched in Ks in these projections. DeGrom slated for 175 innings. Just seems crazy to expect that even possible. So basically injury history. I think we kind of hit on that earlier. But I think we both agree a lot of these injured guys are asking a lot to get the results you're looking for.
Yeah, and the table that I mentioned kind of alluded to the optimism and volume and Ks and innings so far. But I think check back in February or March, and I think those bucket totals that I listed off earlier for Steamer would probably have some smaller numbers in there for sure.
Yep, I'm with you. I like that point because I didn't even think about that until you mentioned it when you went over the chart here is, you know, things will change as projections get updated throughout the preseason. All right, Ben, we'll wrap it up there. Any final thoughts before we head out of here on another episode of Bench with Bubba?
I guess, I don't know. Well, I will say I joined the Bubba and the Bloom Discord. So everyone who's listening,
party time.
Please, it's not the same show, but you do post your other content in there, and it's basically the same community, I'm sure. So if you haven't joined the Discord yet for Bubba and the Bloom, get out. I joined yesterday. Bubba had to help me out. Brian, if you're listening, Bubba helped me out with technology. So yeah, get over there. It's growing. I think I'm one of the new ones, but should be a good time. And I think it's cool to go over pitching projections. Finally, it's something that I haven't done with you at, and I haven't done in my spare time either. So hopefully Steamer is accurate this year, I guess. And the other ones as well.
Yeah, based on what we've seen, it's almost like we got to start believing it now. So don't phase us now. Don't fade us now. So, yeah, we'll see how all that goes. But make sure you check us out and see what we got coming up here. We'll have some more stuff to get you ready for 2025 between projections and other cool takeaways maybe from last year, looking ahead of this year, some ADP stuff. A lot of fun things coming your way as drafts are ramping up big time. Gladiators are in full force. DCs are going strong. NFBC 50s are going. So it's draft season, folks. As much as many don't want it to be, it's already starting early and often. Make sure y'all follow Ben on Twitter at BreakingBen_T. I'm at BDintrick. Until next time, this was Bench with Bubba, episode 698. Catch y'all later.